You are listening to the Food Means Business podcast, which features the personal stories and secret ingredients behind what it's like to abandon your day job to start a CPG food and beverage business. I'm Janaba Johnson-Jones, former marketing executive turned entrepreneur and founder of food business incubator Hudson Kitchen. Join our community of fellow food business owners and subject matter experts to learn and laugh with us as we explore a startup world that's a little more culinary and a lot less corporate these days. All right, Lauren, welcome to the Food Means Business podcast. I'm so happy that you're here.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So I was doing my research and I came up with one word to describe you.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
And that would be unicorn. Like, you've done everything, like literally everything.
It definitely feels that way, but that feels so nice to be called a unicorn. So I'm just going to take that in for a second. Thank you.
We're manifesting things for your business as well. So that's how it goes.
Amazing. Great. Love that for me.
So I would love to, I read all about you, but I'd love for you to tell our audience all about your kind of career trajectory. You've done quite a few things, including working at D Magazine, where I worked many years ago. So we'd love to hear about it.
I love a little Dallas connection. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because for me, I just always wanted to work in food. Growing up, I just loved food. I think it's because my family just put such an emphasis on gathering around food. And so I wanted to go to culinary school off the bat. My parents were like, no, let's do a degree first. So that's how I landed in Dallas. I went to SMU. And while I was there, I was doing a communications major. I wanted to intern abroad because I had never really traveled before. So I got a research grant studying the food systems of London and the US. And it was kind of the time when blogs were just becoming a thing. Instagram just launched. And so blogs were like the happening thing. And a lot of people asked me to start writing for them because of this. I was still in college. This was just mind blowing for me. And with that, I started writing for D Magazine. So that's kind of, it came full circle. I brought my way back to food. And then moved to New York right after I graduated because everyone was like, if you want to work in food, you have to be there. And so I started in PR and I was like, this doesn't really stick. I ended up going to culinary school finally. I worked in restaurants, both savory and pastry. I worked for Gail Simmons, who's one of the judges on Top Chef, doing a little bit of brand recognition as well as recipe development. I worked for a meal kit. I think it's not just that I hadn't really found my niche, but it was more so I was just so thirsty to learn every aspect that I could. And so I then became a food editor for another online site, The Spruce Eats. And from there, I found myself on Netflix's Snack Versus Chef. And now I have a snack brand. It's wild.
It's so crazy. So let's talk about the Netflix special for a second, because yes, I forgot reality's TV star is on your resume.
Yeah, I forget too.
Tell us why you decided to audition. Like, how did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, it was during the pandemic and it was kind of this point where, again, I was like, I'm looking for something new, something else to do. I mean, Facebook is a wonderful place. I think there's a lot of different communities on there, especially if you're a freelancer or a small business owner, to find these communities of support. And someone was looking for a judge for a new snack show. And I was like, I'm not qualified, but I'll apply. And the woman came back. She's like, well, we're kind of looking for someone that's more qualified. And I was like, no way. So she was like, I love your background. Would you ever think of competing? To which I said, no. It's just, I've always been behind the camera. And I just never felt like, honestly, I didn't feel like I was good enough to compete. I have terrible anxiety issues. And so she's like, that's just not the place for me. And needless to say, she mentioned Netflix and talked me into it. And yeah, I mean, I'm so happy that I did, I think, because a lot of that imposter syndrome I worked through on the show. And the producers very much helped with that. They were huge advocates of me. And so it was, I mean, obviously life-changing that I did that.
it's so great because you stepped outside of your comfort zone in a pretty big way, and it led to something amazing. So let's talk about the product you created on the show and how it kind of led to you starting your company now.
Yeah, I mean, we got to the finale of the show and the producers were like, okay, what do you have an idea of what you're going to make? Because they definitely, it is very much on the fly. We're doing these ideas. And if I'm being honest, I did not think I would make it to the finale. So I never got to the point that I was tossing around ideas of what would be my big snack creation. And so I am in kind of trying to think of something. I was like, I just really want to snack on a bowl of noodles. That's like a big comfort thing for me. And I was like, well, why can't that just be a snack? And so I came up with a variation on the show, and it resonated so well with the judges. And then after the show came out, everyone was just like, I love this so much, because I think that there is a bowl of noodles basically in every culture. And it is a very comforting thing for a lot of people. So it, for me, it was this way to, yes, kind of innovate the snack aisle, which was a huge thing that was happening during the pandemic, but also kind of introducing these different flavors that I've learned as a chef, and different passions of mine like sustainability in this more accessible and approachable way. So it was very much this culmination of just everything I've done in my career and more.
So what is the name of your product? And
yes.
Why did you name it that?
The name of my product is Snoods. And so, yes, let me just tell you what exactly my product is for everyone that doesn't know. Snoods are noodle chips. They are chip forward, noodle inspired is how I like to describe them. So it's very much like you're eating a potato chip. But bringing in these different aspects of a full noodle experience, you're getting the different noodle shapes via the chip itself, and then sauces via the seasoning. And I came up with Snoods because I was kind of thinking of these different, I think, really big brands that have always just stuck with me, and snacking occasions and a lot of like nostalgia. I think of nostalgia when I think of snacks, and I automatically then think of Sandlot. And so I was thinking of that s'mores scene, and it was just, it kind of stuck with me how it's, you're taking this word and you can kind of play with it so much. I'm a big pun person. So s'more of this, s'more of that. And I was like, Snoods, like snack noodles. And very much how I think the snack is perceived. It's kind of choose your own adventure, enjoy it however you want, fit into your lifestyle however you want. That's the same impetus with Snoods. It can stand for snack noodles. It can stand for salad noodles. It can stand for send nudes. So it's choose your own adventure, which I love, because I think that food is very much, you should have your own personal connection to it. And whether it's how you think about food and how you enjoy it, but it's, you know, like, let's not be mindless eaters. Let's enjoy and appreciate what we're putting into our bodies.
Yeah. So you finish the program, you figure out you're going to make this product. What do you do next? Because while you have a ton of experience, launching a CPG product is no small feat, right? So talk a little bit about, who did you surround yourself with? What kind of challenges did you face? Like, give us the lowdown.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of experience in food. I have somewhat experience in CPG. I worked for a meal kit, and so I could see kind of the procurement side of things. And I think between that experience as well as working in media, I saw how people perceive food and different trends going on. But those things are kind of maybe a little bit in the initial phase, but once it's kind of more so once you have the product. And so figuring out, how am I going to make a packaged good, a shelf stable good? I don't have this kind of food science background, also the operations side. And so for me, I actually contacted Helen Park, who was one of the judges on Snack versus Chef. She's in New York as well. And so it was many a coffee dates, many like dates, just again, eating noodles while we're also talking about how we're going to make this product. She was definitely driving force, guiding light, for me. I am so grateful. And she really helped me get things off the ground to the point where I did a Kickstarter initially. And that was kind of my way of getting funds as well as a little bit of sales traction. Across the board, finding investors and fundraising for CPG brands is really hard, just in general. And so you kind of have to be a lot farther along than you did, say, 10 years ago. And so Kickstarter was a great way for me to kind of show some of that traction and also bring some of that buzz from the show and keep it going. And then I joined an organization called Startup CPG.
Yeah, after you're amazing.
I feel like I just owe them everything because they provide just endless resources between different grants, as well as just, I think, having access to different founders and suppliers and just being able to just even be in their Slack channel, just searching for answers to random things that I think early on I was really nervous to ask questions because you're so fearful of just looking stupid and sounding stupid. But now I'm quite okay with sounding stupid. You get over it quickly. So
you definitely do, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. And I think it's surrounding myself, finding other founders, whether it be like a product that's similar and maybe I might be able to use them as a resource for my journey, or just finding any founder that's kind of in the same stage as I am. So that way we can kind of have therapy sessions together, as well as, you know, someone that's a little more ahead so you can use them as a guiding light. It's constantly finding that community.
Yeah, I think the community is the most important thing, actually, because it's kind of, and you're with it, it's a little bit lonely to start something. And it's kind of, it's kind of all about, it's, I don't know about you, but like, I constantly think about my business, like all the time. And to be with other people that, you know, are doing the same thing feels kind of nice and comforting.
Yeah. I mean, it's so lonely. It's so lonely. And then I think it's just you constantly feel this sense of kind of overwhelming and like you're just always doing everything wrong, because it just constantly feels like everything's on fire, and it will continue to feel like that. And things may be on fire, but it's kind of like it's part of the game and you just have to get comfortable with that. So yeah, definitely finding people that are in that same space to be like, no, it's okay. It's supposed to be like this.
So last week, you wrote this on Instagram. You said, this time last year, I was going through it, in all caps, dealing with so much uncertainty and honestly hopelessness for how to make this company happen. I felt like I wasn't making much progress, but Joe has kept the train moving, and wow, did it go from 0 to 60 real quick. Can you talk a little bit about Joe and
For me at this time last year, I really had no idea how I was going to make the product, where I was going to come up with funds, where to even start. And Jo's a really good friend of mine. She came on initially after this show came out, and she was like, I feel like you are just such a magical person, and you have this great product, and I don't care where you put me in, but just put me in, coach. Like, I just want to help and support you. And so she was kind of always this person in the background, and we would just have meetings. And sometimes I feel like I would come to meetings and be like, I have no news. Like, I swear I'm working on things, but like nothing is happening. And she just was always very supportive of me. And again, it's having this community of people that are just like, just keep going. As Snoots has grown, her role's kind of also grown with the company. And so she's come on in a bigger role, basically employee number two with me. So it's felt great to have someone that I know, love, and trust as a friend, but that also is such a rock star in all these other aspects. And so now I can also bring her on and these bigger roles as we're rapidly scaling.
I love that. So you guys recently went to Expo West, and I'd love to hear about your experience. I was really, when I was talking to Sarah, who you work with on PR, like, and she mentioned that you guys were going, I was really excited to, because I really wanted to hear, like, what did you do to prepare before you got there? And then how did it actually go? And like, what would you do differently next time?
Yeah, I mean, So I, through Startup CPG, actually, I had gotten a booth grant to Expo East, which was, it was this last, 2023 was their last year. And I found out over the summer that I was getting this grant for a booth at Expo East while, so side note, I work as a private chef on sailing charters to pay the rent. And so I was on charter in the Mediterranean when I got a notification that I was chosen as a brand to exhibit at Expo East. So it was very much like, okay, we need to get a commercial kitchen. We need to get packaging set. I didn't really have anything at that time. So I think having this big expo already under my belt where I was not really prepared in like, I was prepared for it, but you know, not like your other bigger brands that have like these really set in stone packaged products. For me, I was still trying to figure out what my exact formulation was and the right texture and all these little components. But I think after coming away from that and knowing that I can very much use these experiences to still grow and still learn, I don't have to ever have everything buttoned up. So I had a little bit of experience with that. And Expo West is, I mean, Expo East is like 20,000 people and Expo West is like 70,000. So bigger ball game. I knew that I wouldn't be able to pay for a booth at that one, but there's so many other opportunities between different sampling events that are outside the expo, just walking the floor and honestly like throwing bags of snoods out of my bag and just setting meetings with investors, with buyers, with anyone that I can find on LinkedIn that is going. So I felt really prepared going into it. I knew my goals. I'm still actively looking for advisors and investors to really grow the top part of my company. So for all of these big milestones that we have coming up. So I think it's really important going into something like this with specific goals, whether that's like, I really want to talk to this one person, or I want to come away with at least four contacts for one potential advisor. And so you, no matter what, you come out of it feeling this sense of purpose and like, all right, this really was worth it. And so for me, I actually got a grant, or I was awarded the opportunity to sample at Startup CPG's Alley Rally event. They chose 13 brands. And that, yeah, that was a great chance to sample our new formulation of our chips and get the feedback and still meet buyers and not have to spend this crazy amount of money that is really hard for startups.
Right. That's great. That's amazing. It looks like it was a lot of fun. I actually had some FOMO. I was like, I have no need to go to Expo West, but I really wanted to go this year.
It's funny. I feel like I describe these expos as camp. You know, you go and it's a lot of the times you see different buyers that you only talk to on the phone or even other founders that are across the country and you're running into them or you're seeing like you're meeting the founders of your favorite brand for the first time. And yes, you're all just like nerding out about things that you really can't talk to anyone else about. And it's just, it's an exciting time for sure.
Definitely. Definitely. So what piece of advice would you give to an aspiring entrepreneur, someone that is in your place you were a year ago? Like what's some advice you'd give them?
Be patient. It feels like nothing is happening. And then all of a sudden, everything will start happening. And then at the same time, things, like I said, will go from 0 to 60. And you kind of have to keep doing these 0 to 60 pause, because there's just so much to do. And you know, you want to do it right. A lot of times, I found sometimes you get a couple chances, which is nice, but a lot of times you only get one chance. So you want to make it count. You want to make it worth it. And also, you only have so much money to spend as a startup before you start seeing the money kind of come back into your account. So it's just, yeah, being diligent, being patient, keep working at it and find your community. There's a lot of communities out there. Startup CPG, you know, you got it. You have to join the community. You'll find all of us there. We can have therapy sessions together. Yeah. And just keep going. I think that is the biggest thing. Every time I talk to other founders, we're all just like, should we quit? Should we quit? Like, this is a lot. And we all just keep telling each other, no, I mean, what we have is great. It's worth it. Just keep going. We'll get there.
For sure. For sure. So what are you doing to take care of yourself? Because I have to imagine, well, if you're like me, you work a lot, right? So like, how are you taking care of yourself just to kind of make sure that you get that rest and that so that you can keep going?
Yeah, I think it's giving myself a lot of grace. Things that otherwise would have maybe, I can be very type A. And like I said, I have a lot of anxiety that I work through. And so just, I think giving myself actual working hours. I mean, obviously those change and shift depending on things that are going on, but trying to stay within a time frame each day where it's, I know I'm getting some sleep, because if I'm so tired that I can't focus and I can't do things the next day, then, I mean, things are just going to fall farther and farther behind. And I definitely need a day. This sounds so bad, but I think with how crazy life is and how kind of organized chaos the rest of work and that the business kind of bleeds into your personal because it all just becomes one. I need a day where I'm just not doing anything. And I just need to be kind of like a little bit mindless. I think that I have put so much brain power into creating this business that I'm slowly losing all of my brain cells for every other aspect of my life. So we need like a day to kind of reset, or at least a couple hours of a day. So yeah, just giving grace, not letting myself feel bad if I miss a deadline, that it's doesn't matter. Like the world will go on. We will get there eventually. So
I think it's really important to figure that out. I haven't gotten to the point where I'm taking a full day yet. Right. And that I should.
I say that and I'm like, am I though?
It's goal for sure. Like yeah, for yeah, sure yeah. To rest. Because you're right. Because a lot of the time the deadlines are just arbitrary. Like it's your deadline that you put on yourself.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with anything that's actually real. So
Right.
So we have a Money Belt Hudson Kitchen that we ring when we're celebrating something. So I wanted to find out, like, what are you celebrating right now? It could be personal, it could be professional, anything.
Yeah. So I have thought about this. I did know about the Money Belt. And it's funny because initially I'm just like everything. I just feel so good about everything. But like I mentioned at Expo West, I did this sampling for Startup CPG with 12 other brands. There's 13 of us. And I actually did not realize until the week of that there was a voting component to it. And I was just happy to be there. And we at Snoods won out of all of the brands. It was the favorite. And so that means that we get a free booth at Expo West next year, which is just astronomical for a small startup.
Yes,
and that's amazing. I would say it's that part is just unreal in of itself, but it's really this, we debuted our new formulation for these chips. We've been really struggling to find the right texture between crunch and not too crunchy. That's kind of where we want to fall with our snack and be the differentiator. And so figuring that out has been a long road. And I felt for the first time just beyond confident in what we have and the product. And I think we've been steadily growing and getting our feedback and making these small changes. And now I'm like, this is it. I'm just so stoked to go on from here. And with everything else that we have coming up this year to start doing more samplings and get boots on the ground with our consumers and meet everyone, because Snoods is just gonna take off after this.
That's amazing. Congratulations on everything
that you've
done so far. So Lauren, let everyone know where they can find out about you and Snoods.
Yeah, you can find Snoods online at eatsnoods.com. We're on Instagram at eatsnoods as well. You can email me at hello@eatsnoods.com. Also on LinkedIn, slide into my DMs, email. I mean, I'm available any which way works for you.
Amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.